The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perreault columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now, we've got an interesting one today, which I'm sure everyone will be interested in, mainly because we're talking high-grade gold in the eastern goldfields of WA, with some nickel in the background coming along as well. We're talking about Carnival. The code is CAV. Last traded at 1.1 cent for a market cap of $30 million. The CEO is Humphrey Hale, and Humphrey's with us today to give us a rundown on some exciting news that started. Well, the company's been active in the eastern goldfields there for a couple of years now, but quite recently, earlier this year, some very high-grade hits at its Kukini project. And they also have the Aura Banda South Gold project, which is also shaping up nicely. So to run through all that, we have Humphrey with us today. Humphrey, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Good morning, Barry, and I'm very pleased to be able to chat with you about these interesting projects that we've got.
Right. Now, obviously, Kukini has generated a lot of interest. Kukini, of course, about 160 kilometres north of Kalgoorlie. Your Kukini East project, where you have the McTavish East, McTavish and the McTavish North results, very high-grade ones from east there. Just give investors a feel for what you have encountered there and how you see the bigger picture there unfolding.
It is an interesting area, of course, Kukini, 2 hours drive north of Cal. We picked up the project from Western Resources and converted that option into 80% ownership and added an additional tenement in amongst the package. We've drilled three rounds of air core and we completed the second round of RC drilling very recently. We await those results in June. But that was following up on some extremely high grades that we intercepted both in the air core and in the RC. And some of those grades, you know, spectacular. So we were 16 metres at 21 grams. We had additional 2 metres at 16 grams, 4 metres at 31 grams. You know, some substantial hits here in fresh rock. So this next round of air core drilling has been, sorry, RC drilling has been aimed at growing that high-grade zone and identifying further extensions down dip and along strike. And we've completed that for 5,000 metres and we'll see what happens when we get the results back. But from the geology and the logging, it looks good.
So do we have some, is there some scale to this project?
Yeah, so in Kukini, it's a small bunch of tenements that sits to the west of the pub. Some people might be familiar with the horse that hangs around there. But we've got on the McTavish East prospect, we've got about 350 metres of high-grade strike.
Right.
In a wider, broader anomalous area of about 500 metres. And then to the north at McTavish North, we've got about 250 metres of strike in the air core. And we've just finished nine holes in there, the first RC that's been done on the project. And we're hopeful that we can pick up some good grades there as well. So this has always been a place where you would expect to find high grades. Mm. And when we talk high grades, it's the real high grade. Sort of in excess of 10 grams up to an ounce or thereabouts. Yeah. over a number of meters. Mm-hmm. Providing resources in the order of somewhere between 150,000 ounces and 350,000 ounces. That's our target. And the tenement area that we've been exploring has always been undercover and concealed from earlier explorers. So this was our advantage. Mm-hmm. And our opportunity. And we seem to be onto something here with our newly discovered McTavish East prospect.
Mm. Who was McTavish, by the way?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I suspect Scottish.
No prizes for that.
But there is, at McTavish on Metallisty's ground, mm. there is an underground mine that was operated at the turn of the 20th century. So I dare say his remains are at the bottom of that.
No, it's just because you were this is a blind discovery undercover. So presumably Mr. McTavish was active in the area at some point over the last 100 and so years. Yeah.
So where you at Kirkcaldy, nearly all, in fact, all of the prospects that have been discovered, Cosmopolitan, Altona, McTavish, Leopold, Champion, they've all been found as sticking out of the ground as residual opportunities. So the area in between all of those is covered in deep transported material and then a depleted regolith. And we've been able to unpick that using the structural information and detailed geology to chase down and find a new high-grade lode. So that's where we sit.
And this mineralized structure runs down to the Champion South area, about a kilometre away?
That's right. So the Champion South area was the area that had previously been explored and carried some grade. It's got some single metres plus 10 grams in historical drilling, and that lives on the structure where we found this high-grade zone about a kilometre to the southwest of Champion South. So we see an opportunity between McTavish East and Champion South along this structure that has not been tested yet. And we see perched alluvial gold in the lower transported horizons that are giving us indications that we might be able to chase further high grade beneath that. We've got an air core program starting on the 27th of May to test that corridor in detail, which will be quite exciting. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. So potentially you could end up with a series of 150 to 300,000 ounce sort of deposits along.
Yeah, 100%, Barry. And I guess that's very interesting in the scheme of things at Kirkcaldy. So I'm sure you're familiar with Metallistia Next doing their work, and they've been drilling and trying to expand the Leopold, McTavish and Cosmopolitan historic mines, and they've had some success with that. But more importantly, you've got a few companies to the north of us, and only 10Ks to the north of us is Genesis and their Ulysses project, and also their brand new discovery at Penny West. So they've got 2 million ounces or thereabouts at about 1.8 grams, and that looks like it'll become a new mill, a new operation. And with Rally Finlayson taking over from Mike Fowler, he didn't join that company just to tread water. No. I'm sure that there's more things to come there. And then next door, we've got Saturn's Apollo project, and they've just added 500,000 ounces to their Apollo project through a change in feasibility. So that gives them close to 1.5 million ounces or thereabouts. So in the region, you've got sort of 3.5 million ounces without a mill. Mm. Apollo could do with a bit of sugar. It could do with some high grade to make that work. And even some of the pits around Ulysses at one gram or so would benefit from a little boost of grade. And so we could provide that. And if you look at the acquisitions by Romelius and how they've moved and shaped the market, if you like, for projects in the Eastern Goldfields. Mm. If you look at their Penny West acquisition, that was about $650 an ounce, and that graded about 13 grams for 350,000 ounces. So that is the sort of thing that we are aiming to emulate. Mm. That's our sort of business model, if you like. And then they also bought Rebecca, which was about a gram, a million ounces at a gram or thereabouts, and that was about $150 an ounce. Mm. So you can see a great difference in ore that you can truck and ore that has to sustain a mill, etc. So we see ourselves, although 250,000, 300,000 ounces isn't so much, at high grade you can truck it anywhere, and it will unlock some of these lower grade open pits that are being discovered.
Mm. Obviously, you're just touching there on the strategic importance of your Kirkcaldy East project. I was just wondering, how does the share register look? Because the last thing we want to see, of course, is a low ball takeover bid before you yourselves get to unlock the full potential of your project.
Yeah, interesting. We've always been an explorer since our inception listing in 2007, and we've had a strong support from our existing shareholder group and their generally high net worth individuals, well known to our chairman, and they have supported Andy Beckwith before me as MD and myself going forward on our exploration strategy, which is to find strong projects that can be explored quickly and changed on and developed. And so we see no institutional people on the register, the top 20 own 60% of the company, and we've been very well supported in our capital raising. So when we first got those RC results at Kukaini, we did a technical presentation to our senior shareholder group, and we wanted to know, you know, what they thought and give them the detailed geology. And they said, right, well, we need to move this along quickly. And we did a capital raise on the back of that, which they supported fully, including our two directors, Andy Beckwith and Ron Gajewski. They put in $200,000 each, which is a great thumbs up for what we're doing. And that was done at 1.1, which is where we sit today. So I hope that we'll see the share price move in the right direction when we get the results in from Kukaini. And we've also got other things going on, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
That placement raised $2.64 million all up. And you mentioned Andy Beckwith kicked in $200,000 and the chairman as well. Beckwith, of course, for those who don't know, is the exploration guy at De Grey, discoverer of the Malina project, Malina Basin project, which I last count was at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million ounces and counting.
Well, that's right. I think they've got a new resource coming out, but it's a spectacular discovery by De Grey and the Hemi project, etc. So when he discovered that, he couldn't do both jobs, so he asked me to step in, and we've been able to give Carnival a good boost. And so having that technical knowledge, history of success, we've been able to pick up some good projects and develop them.
Yep, and just to be sure, Andy is non-exec director of the company?
He is, yes, okay. Non-executive director, that's right.
All right, let's move down to Orabanda South Gold Project, about 65 kilometres north of Kalgoorlie, 8 kilometres north from the historic gold mining centre there. An interesting one, potentially large scale. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, Orabanda, only an hour north of Cal. And if you travel there and drive around, which is very straightforward, very easy access, you can see old workings and pits all over the place. It's a well-known, well-explored area, and you wouldn't expect to be able to do a greenfields exploration opportunity so close to Cal and in this well-explored district. However, because we're exploring in a sedimentary package, the Black Flag group bed up against the Currawong conglomerates with the Carnage Shear running through it, this was always unpopular and overlooked and ignored by previous explorers. They were always looking for dolerites and greenstones. Yeah. However, when Goldfields discovered their Invincible project down at the St. Ives mining camp, that changed things. And that happened in 2012 and was within the shadow of the mill down there at St. Ives. So that's a 2.5 million ounce plus producer. It's gone underground, it's high grade, and it sits in a very, very similar sedimentary package. Mm-hmm. So when we came along to review the opportunity at Orabanda, we wanted to know, is this Carnage Shear fertile? And through a review of data, there was some small amount of air core drilling to the south, and there's a small pit, the Carnage pit at the north along the Carnage Shear. Mm-hmm. We were very encouraged. We did some soils across the residual soil area, and then we did a round of air core to chase up that fertile structure. And we were very successful in that enormously wide space air core. We managed to get 4 meters at nearly 9 grams. Mm-hmm. And in addition, we had 8 meters at 2.7, 12 meters at half, 4 meters at 1.4. And a number of other strong hits on this wide-spaced air core. We were only expecting to see sort of residual gold anomalism in the regolith that we would need to chase further. Mm-hmm. And we were expecting sort of 0.2 grams a ton to develop. So this was outstanding. We've subsequently drilled 13,000 meters following up on that air core hits, and we should see results in the next few weeks on that. And again, it is still extremely wide space. So the lines are 360 meters apart. It's a 15 kilometer system, and we've already got substantial plus gram hits, nearly close to 10 grams. So you know, this could be very exciting, and a company maker. So Kukaini high grade, 200 to 300,000 ounces, perhaps. This one could be 1 million ounces or more. Who knows?
Right. So just run us through you've just completed an RC program, was it?
So we completed an air core program at Orobanda. It's for 13,000 meters. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And results from that will?
Results would be probably within the next couple of weeks to complete that. Mm-hmm. And we'll be announcing that.
So did you wide space, almost geochemical testing in nature?
Very much so. So in 15 kilometers, you really, you know, we did our wish list and it came up to $1 million worth of air core drilling first up, and we couldn't do that. So we had to sort of manage the risk. Mm-hmm. The first program was about $350,000, and picked up those hits. And then we came in and infilled, and we're still 360 meters apart on this really big tenement package.
Yeah. So from that, what drilling you have done, were you able to define or imagine that you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, areas of particular interest?
We've got three areas defined by the previous drilling, so that was important. So we've got the Carnage prospect to the north, the Highlander prospect in the middle, and our other one to the south, which is Gaun Dam, a tribute to the Afghans. And those are huge. You know, they're multiple kilometers in strike and still ephemeral with regards to our understanding. So the infill drilling should help us. And of course, we're well placed geologically, and we've done geochemical sampling down the holes to make sure that we can analyze the rock types and get a vector on alteration and mineralizing structures. So quite exciting to see what will come out of this.
Right, and a nice systematic sort of approach to it all.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we're close to running out of time, but we should have a quick chat about Grey Dam Nickel Project. What's nearby to the Black Swan, Silver Swan high-grade nickel deposits? What have you got there?
Yeah, Black Swan, Silver Swan, Golden Swan, they've done extremely well in finding high-grade nickel sulfides, Kambalda-style nickel sulfides, and that's about 50 k's to the west of where we are. And importantly, the Ardea have found their Emu Lake, which is only 25 k's up the road from us, and on the same geological package and with abutting and neighbouring tenements. So they've been successful in identifying Kambalda-style nickel sulfides. We've done some work at Grey Dam in the past and were unsuccessful, but the work that we did to convince ourselves to go drilling was very important. We did an enormous amount of detailed geochem, ratios of copper and nickel, presence of platinum, the presence of nickel sulfide underneath the small nickel cobalt laterite resource.
Right.
It said this is a good spot for Kambalda-style nickel. So to the north, we've got the package that lives undercover once more and therefore hasn't been explored. We've done a wide program of ultrafine fraction soil sampling, which is a new technique that's involved with the CSIRO project. And that's given us 5 soil anomalies to follow up. To make sure we hit that target as best as possible, we did some passive seismic over the top of it to determine the depth of cover and the nature of the regolith, and that was pretty handy. We did a mag inversion on the aeromag to make sure that we knew which way the vertical mafic, ultramafic package was dipping, and confirmed it to be vertical. So we'll be doing a moving loop EM surface ground mag survey to test that, which is pretty neat. It's a reasonably large package. Mm-hmm. It's probably got about 9 k's of strike length, which is pretty good. And I've no doubt that we'll find some targets from that to follow up with drilling. So albeit, you know, we've got 2 strong gold projects, this one is still got merit, and we're looking forward to finding something here.
Mm. Particularly with nickel prices where they are nowadays.
100%. Mm-hmm. And nickel sulfide is the one to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Humphrey, here's the hard part. If we could just summarise for investors some bull points they should be looking out for in the coming months.
Yeah, and not hard at all, Barry. Not hard at all at this point in time. With Kukaini, we've just finished our 5,200-metre RC program, expanding and growing that high-grade zone. So we're expecting some good outcomes there at Kukani, McTavish East and Kukani. We've also finished our drilling at Orobanda. There was 13,000 metres of air core following up some high-grade anomalism and gold hits. You know, 4 metres at nines is nothing to be sniffed at. And we should see that within a couple of weeks. We've also got this EM ground EM survey following up on soil samples that might indicate nickel sulfide conductors. And we expect that in the next couple of months. So within the next quarter, we've got three projects with three strong result outcomes coming. And investors should be pleased that they can get in and capitalize on that where the stock price is now, the raising that we did. So all full speed ahead.
Yeah. Okay. There we go, folks. Couldn't ask for more than that. Three strong projects in the making. Market cap of only 30 mil. Obviously leveraged to a future and potential exploration upside. And an interesting story, Humphrey. One we'll be watching closely. So good luck with it all. And thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Barry. It's been good to talk.
Cheers.